Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is 9 o'clock and it is time for a talk magic. And I'm telling you right now, I could not be more excited with the person I'm interviewing today. Let me tell you why. I think this person has developed the 2024 trick of the year. I don't think anything is going to touch it. He has been creating magic for a long time and has had some incredible effects come out that you might not even realize are his. And the stuff that he's working on over the next coming weeks and months and the companies that he's working with, it's incredibly inspirational. I'm telling you, if he's not already there, he's going to be considered to be one of the top creators in the industry over the next couple of years. I am, of course, talking about the one and only Alex LaTorre. How are you, my friend?
Good. Wow. Thanks for the kind words. Not even my grandma
It's
says
true,
anything
though.
about me.
I was... You know, I mean, we'll get into this, but obviously you're riding high still at the moment with the success of Rattle Dice. That came out, I think, in July, just before Magic Live. And it's still in the top 20 at Penguin and has been. I don't think there's many products that have stayed in that top spot for so long, which shows like just how incredible it is. And I remember rocking up to Magic Live and being on the Penguin stand, and they were like, "Oh, you're doing Rattle Dice," and I'm like, "I'm doing what now?" And I remember locking myself in a room for an hour, listening to Greg Wilson, and wondering why the hell I hadn't learned this trick before. I was like, "It's in my gig bag. I take it to every gig. I've got 5 sets of them because I never want to not have one. I don't want a Penguin to run out and then I lose it or something." It's incredible, and it's only one of a million things that you're coming out with. But I mean, for me, that is, you know, and we'll talk about Rattle Dice later, but for me, it's one of the most commercial ideas that I've ever seen. It's brilliant.
Thanks. Thanks, thanks. Yeah, Rattle Dice was a fun one because it kind of just popped into my head, the idea of something that rattles. Initially, it was a coin. So the method is extremely obvious. Like, it's called a rattle dice. It's just it's called rattle dice, but it's a die that rattles. Really, it's singular. But it began as taking two shells. So I took I destroyed my triad coin set by Josh J. I took the super expanded and the expanded shell, and I glued them together with a small magnet inside, and that kind of created that cavity where the magnet could rattle inside the coin. But it didn't sound right. So when I showed Penguin, they were like, "This is great, but maybe we should find a different object." So that's kind of how the die itself was born, out of the coin doesn't sound right, but when we tried the die, it sounded exactly right. Like, just by, we just put, in my case, I just 3D printed two halves, put a magnet inside, glued them back together just to test it out. And it sounded exactly the same as if I took two dice and I just rattled them in my hands. So it was a bit of collaborative thinking, but yeah, I'm super happy with the way it turned out.
It's brilliant. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But
and your routine is great also. Sorry.
Oh, you know what? Well, I was, they said, "Hey, damn it." And I watched the tutorial and I was like, "This is great. Greg Wilson's amazing, but this doesn't fit me. And if I'm going to dem something, I need it to work for me." So I sat there and I came up with this routine and I perform it. Like, all the highest accolade I can say is I perform it at every single close-up gig that I go to. I always have those dice in my
great
pocket.
To hear.
Yeah, I love it. I really do. And we'll talk more about Rattle Dice in a minute, but I want to get what's very annoying about you is you're super creative. We've spent the last 2 hours on, you know, just chatting about stuff you've got coming out before we even started rolling the camera. And you're only 24. You're 24. You're ridiculously creative. We're going to dive into that in a bit. But I want to start off with kind of like your origin story, how you got into magic. Because obviously you're from Barcelona, or you live in Barcelona. And Spain has a very rich heritage of magicians performing a very similar type of style. And you don't seem to fit that mold. And so it's really kind of interesting. So I'd like to delve into that and start off by how you got into magic. So can we start with the origin story, Alex? Where did it all begin?
So I guess not too dissimilar from many other people. I was around 12 or 13 So yeah, probably around 10 or 12 years ago, and I watched my for Christmas. My parents took me to see a magician who is very famous here in Catalonia. His name is Mac Ladi. He's very much not well known outside of Barcelona and the Catalonia area. And I saw him, and I was like, "Wow, this is something." And at first, I wanted to become a performer, and so I read all the giobbes, all the everything that was necessary to actually perform, and it was not for me. Like the whole theatrics and artistic part of magic is something that eludes me, or is harder for me. I won't say eludes me because I can perform if I am forced to at gunpoint, but it's really not my area of expertise. And that took maybe 2 or 3 years to discover that performing wasn't what I'm super good at. Not to say that I'm super good at anything else, but performing is not my calling. But I'd learned a ton up until that point, and I was like, maybe I can come up with my own stuff. And so at first it was simple card tricks, but
And how
then
old were you at this point, by the way?
maybe 14, 15, something like
Okay.
that. And at that point, another love kind of grew parallel to that one, which was engineering and prototyping and 3D printing, software, robotics, blah, blah,
Yeah.
blah. And then I kind of found a cool intersection between both things. And I went on to study engineering. I'm actually studying a second degree in another type of engineering. And I'm finding it fun, and I have always found it fun to combine these two interests into, novel props and novel, like, kind of interesting advances technologically. Not necessarily just in electronics, but also materials and kind of combination of ideas, etc. So yeah, it's kind of the brief two cents of it. But it started off as I wanted to become a performer, transitioned into, all right, maybe I can create my own stuff, and then I kind of molded it into I'm a magic engineer, which is actually what it says on my LinkedIn, if anyone wants to check it out.
Magical engineer, that's so cool. And I want to talk about your creative process, but first of all, so you're 14 years old, you've kind of realized that performing's not for you, but you want to be a creator, you're creating simple card tricks. Was the goal to create magic to eventually release to the magic community, or was the goal to create magic just for yourself or for your friends, or to share, like, what did you have it? Because you've become a very successful creator. You have. There's just no two bones about it. And I've been lucky enough to find out some of the stuff that you've got coming out with. It's incredible. Like, was that always the plan? Was that always the goal?
I'm not a great planner. I'm very much the type of live one day at a time. Like I, at the time, it was more like I just like creating. Like I've always been creatively driven. Like I used to design to create movie props when I was 10 or before Magic. Like I'd watch, I don't know, Aliens, and I tried to create a face hugger out of scraps of plastic and hot glue and coat hanger. So I've always liked working on stuff. Like being, as I say, maybe creatively driven is a bit egotistical to say, but yeah, I like the creativity aspect of life. And no, I think at the time it was more like, okay, this is kind of an extension of this creativity, but applied to this new field of interest of mine. And up until today, like I really have no goals. And I think in these past hours that we've been talking, I think it kind of permeates in what I say. It's very much, I just like what I do. Very much not money driven, very much not, I just like doing what I do, working with people that I find interesting. And, if, that's kind of how I experience most of life.
That's great. That's really cool. That's a great attitude to have. The first, I might be wrong, but the first time I remember seeing your name was on a Mark Mason project. I think you had a couple of things with Mark Mason, didn't you? Was that your first like commercial release? Was that your first thing to the magic community?
So the first thing that I ever released, I was 16 years old, In 2016, in the hype of flap tricks, if anyone remembers that era of Sans Mines, magic tricks, and we all aspired to be Julio Montoro's, who I very much love and is a very close friend of mine. And I released this trick with Vanishing Ink called blistering, which is has very it's very much forgotten, and is in the abyss. Maybe let me check if I have a unit. Maybe I don't. Basically, it was this trick where you have a blister pack of gum, like what's it called, like Dentine in the United States, and you only have one piece, and you can like move it around, and it's sealed, and you like move it around the different cubicles of the matrix. I don't very much know how to call it.
That's amazing. I've never seen that before. That
No,
sounds pretty good.
and then in the end, it jumps to the other side, and the gum pack is examinable. So I was very much stoked to release that because you can imagine 16-year-old me. They flew me to Blackpool to film 1 week after the convention, which was kind of sad. But they flew me out to Blackpool. I filmed with Mark of the Ving team. My dad had to come with me as a minor that I was at the time. But it was a that was the first thing that I released, and then I kind of focused more on my studies when I finished when I was finishing high school. And then as I started college, I came in contact with Mark. And Mark is great. He's fantastic. He's so knowledgeable. He's just a great guy. To be fair, he's just a great guy. And I think with him, we did three projects. The first thing that I released, I think, is this thing called Juxtapad, which is like a post-it pad that.
I remember that. Yeah, the yes,
Can I talk method?
it's yeah, of course. Yeah,
It's like this post-it pad that it's like it is like two halves. So I'll represent it like it's two halves that's like a split coin, but with a post-it pad, right? So basically, you could write anything on the post-it, right? And then you could either take it off or make it vanish or make it change or et cetera, et cetera. And there were a bunch of routines with like book test and the. And then after that, I think we released, what's it called? Forget. Initial Shock, I think it's called.
that I remember seeing Mark perform this for me, and I love that. Like, it fooled the pants off me. Like, the visual of that card, the initials, for people that don't know, a card is
Yeah, I don't have it here, but you would, this is not the gimmick, by the way. This is just a representation, but you would have a signed card, right? You would place it, it's kind of sticking out from here, from the box. And you could write your initials on the box, and you would flick, and the initials would visually jump to the signed card. And then you can hand it out for examination, and then hand the box out for examination. So that was a fun thing. And that kind of also came from the era of flap tricks, like a kind of rethinking and retooling of how a flap could work. Kind of, sorry, spoilers for anyone who doesn't know how it works, but it was kind of a rethinking of how a
But
flap.
yeah, it was flaps used in a very different way, in a way that flaps
Exactly.
weren't normally used before.
So yeah, it was a strange one, but I'm very happy with that one. And then I think the last one we released is this one called Killer in Manila.
Oh, I didn't realize that was yours. Okay, well, that is one of my. I said to Mark, I was with him at Magic Live this year, and I said to him, that is my favorite trick that JB Magic has ever put out. It's such a genius solution to a card to envelope
It's
signed
so
card.
simple too. It's so yeah, the trick is a card to envelope, which I actually think I have one anyway. And that actually came from I had a torn envelope, and it had no backside, right? So then when I held a card in front of it, it almost looked like it was inside the envelope, but there was like a gap. And so I kind of worked on a solution that could fill that gap. So the card doesn't necessarily have to be inside the envelope, really, but it looks like it's inside the envelope.
It's genius.
I think that kind of, it gives away enough of the method.
It's really, really clever. Really clever. I didn't realize that was yours. And I think that's part of the problem with Mark Mason. Like, you release something with Penguin or Murphy's or Alakazam or Vanishing Ink or Illusionist or some of the big companies, your name is front and center. It's like Rattle Dice was, well, this is Bioxx Latore. This is Rattle Dice. Even though Greg Wilson was doing the tutorial, it was very much a case of this is your trick. A lot of the time, even though your name's on the trick with Mark, because he's the one deming it and he's typically the one on the tutorial and so on and so forth, a lot of the time, you kind of don't realize that there's somebody else behind that effect. I'm not being negative about Mark at all. Mark's one of my best friends in the world, and that works for him, and it's been his business model for 20, 30 years, and it's worked brilliantly. But I think as a, somebody who wants to maybe make a name for themselves as a creator, that can be a tick in the con column, because you might not have your name closely associated with that particular product. Does that?
The fun thing about those products, actually, if you rewatch the trailers, they were filmed at Murphy's studio, and the performer is Javier Fuenmayor. So it's not even Mark. So I
Well, I
actually
mean,
don't.
Hav, I know Hav really well. He's a great guy. He's a fantastic
No, like
trailer. He's great at making
he's
trailers.
super good. I don't know what went on behind the scenes for those that Mark. Kind of, I don't know why Murphy's filmed them for a JB Magic product, but yeah, not it wasn't even Mark in that case. He was
That's
in
it.
the tutorial, of course, with his famous blue and white backdrop, and it's a Mark Mason tutorial.
Yeah, it has to be done a very particular way. That's funny. So yeah, I mean, did you off the back of doing those with Mark, did your stock must have risen outside of Spain and more people must have known who you were. Did that open up doors for you as a creator?
I'd say not much, just because I wasn't really pursuing it at that time either. Like I know you say this very much that it's and I agree that it's the creator is the no has to be the number one promoter of their own trick. Like, and at that time I was very much focused on other things. I was just starting off with my current girlfriend. I was with class in uni. I wasn't really pursuing a very serious career in magic. And so I was just content with having physical product that I could show off. And it did get me some work. I did work for a couple of maybe a year, kind of a ghost as a kind of ghost creator for Peter Egging, which I know your eyebrows will kind of rise at this
Oh, I
point.
love Peter Egging. It's very smart of you to not have your name associated with his products. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm a very transparent guy, so I'll kind of leave this out here. You remember his card through window?
Yes, I remember it well.
I designed it.
Really?
I swear, yeah.
And your name wasn't on there.
No, but I was more than happy to. Like, so it was Peter's base idea, and then he essentially hired me to design it and kind of from his vision, bring it to be a physical thing.
Okay.
So that's probably the biggest consequence of these first products that I released was working with Peter, which
Yeah, I mean that look,
it happened.
I may not, I've got a reputation for like slagging off a lot of his stuff for good reason, but I've also said that he's brought a lot of good stuff out in the past. And
No, I'm not a fan. Like
yeah.
I know what I did. Like, I'm happy with the work that I did because it accomplished what Peter wanted. Maybe the original idea wasn't ideal. I'll just say that.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. And in terms of working with Mark as well, you are right. I do say that a creator should be the number one promoter, and I do believe that. But if there's ever a company that you're going to release a trick with where you don't have to be the main promoter, it's Mark Mason, because he's the best pitch man in magic and he's going to sell that thing for you. You don't need to do anything. Of course, he's going to drive sales. Like, that's what he does. He turns up and he makes everybody excited about something and
I
then goes
think
away.
Mark is one of the few, like the last old school seller type personas, where it's very much if you see him physically do it, like face to face, it's like your hand goes immediately into your wallet and it just has to buy it from him. So I think that's kind of why Mark does a lot of the convention circuit, because he's really good at face-to-face selling. Probably the best person to do it.
Yeah, I agree. There's nobody better. He could literally sell coal to Eskimos. Sorry, you know, coal to Newcastle. There's a million different things. He could sell anything to anybody. But off the back of that, so you're busy at university. I know you're currently in the middle of your second degree, which is just
Why
bananas. But
not?
of course, why not? Let's just get another one. So, but you know, you were you you released all of the stuff with Mark Mason. You're at university. What was the next step? Was the next thing Rattle Dice after that, or was there something else in between?
So,
And how did you end up with Penguin? Like, where did that process come from? Because let's make no bones about it. Like, Penguin is the largest magic shop in the world, and to be associated with them and to have a trick that a lot of people are saying is going to be trick of the year is huge, absolutely huge. And I know you released something, I didn't realize until you said, but you released something with Vanishing Ink. They're a great company as well. But Penguin, the next level. Like, how did you go from bringing in some, you know, you're at university, you're studying, you've bought some stuff out with Mark Mason, you're ghosting Peter Egging, wise decision. How did you get from that to Penguin? What was the journey?
so I finished my degree, and then I kind of dove headfirst into magic because I didn't really want to get a real job. Not to say that magic is not a real job, but I didn't want to get like a real engineering job because real engineering jobs here in Spain are generally not great. And so I spent maybe a year just doing magic. And my contact with Penguin, it was actually super standard. I just submitted it through their submissions page.
Okay.
I cold like cold door. I just emailed them a video with the performance and the tutorial, and we went from there. I think Penguin, as probably most companies, it's probably the case with most companies. Once you're in, you're really in, and they have the facilities to let you know that you're really in. Like you come in contact with Sean Dunn, with Mandy Roth, with people who you can directly show things to and receive almost immediate feedback. But the first step, in my case at least, there was no in. It was just, hello, this is little old me with this dice that rattles. So that was, honest to God, the first contact with Penguin was exactly that.
Wow. So what advice, that's because we can now talk, obviously Rattle Dice has just come out and we can talk about some of the other stuff that you're doing in a bit, but like, what advice would you give somebody who's watching this that's a creator or wants to be a creator, and that as somebody who at the age of 24 has worked with Vanishing Ink, Mark Mason, Penguin Magic, I mean, as somebody who's achieved all of that already, what advice would you give to somebody who's trying to get in with a big company?
So I think the first thing is to not be discouraged if either they don't answer or they give a negative response. When I say a negative response, it's not necessarily that sucks. It's a no. Because not every trick is made for every company. And I think Craig, you'll agree with me on this. There's some things that some companies are like, yeah, shit, we want that immediately. And maybe another company will be like, oh, that really is not for us. No, thank you. Doesn't mean that the trick is bad. It just isn't for them. And then I think, as with any creative process, there's a large percentage of it that it's a muscle. You just train. And you, at first, it starts off really as quantity over quality. And you create a lot of shit. a lot of very bad things, and that's fine. And then the first thing you create that you're happy with, bam, you find it on the third and on the third tarball. It's just gonna happen. And then you'll create some more shit, and then the next thing that you're happy with, it's on 13 steps. So it's a process, and it's and then these gaps of shit that you create kind of start getting smaller and smaller and smaller. They never disappear. Like, I create a lot of junk. And if any creator says that all they create is winners, they're lying. It's impossible. I create a lot of junk just because creativity, in many occasions, is, and I'd say most occasions, it's quantity over quality. The more you create, the more chances you have that you'll strike on something that is really good quality. So I think my only advice is to do as much as you can. I don't have a method for my creativity, so I can't really speak to. I know Julio has a lot of work on it with, I think he calls it the creative dissociation, I think it is. I can't speak about that too much because it's very much his work. But there's a lot of Jay Sankey has work on creativity. Adrián Cartalá has work on. There's a lot of people who talk about methods to get to creativity. I don't really have one. It just kind of happens miraculously. So on my end, it's just to, chug along, continue doing it, and it's a muscle.
That's yeah, I mean, that's really, really, really good advice. And you're right with everything that you say. So why? Here's a question that comes up all the time. And we can talk about other projects that you're involved with and so on and so forth, but you pretty much exclusively work with production companies. And a question that comes up on this channel all the time is, why don't you're a creative guy, why don't you ever release something yourself or self-produce or set up your own production company? Why go through Penguin Magic or Vanishing Ink or the various different companies you're going for? Is there a reason for that?
So production is a whole different beast. I actually have two tricks coming out through Murphy's, through their partner program, and they have been. Can I swear?
It's my channel. I mean, I swear all the time. Of course, you fucking can.
They've been a pain in the ass to make, because production is completely different to creativity. It's like, if creativity is freedom and go crazy, production is execution and consistency, and they really don't work together. That's why you will rarely see someone creative produce their own stuff. I can only think of a few examples where it's not just a one-off, where it's something consistent. Like, I know Julio releases a lot of stuff, but he doesn't do the production, much of the production himself, because it's really something that you need to be specialized on. And the big companies have people who do the creativity and people who do the production, because it's hard. It's hard to create a product that is nice, a manufacturing process that is efficient, that has no bottlenecks, getting supplies, suppliers, providers. Like, it's a whole different thing, and I am not well equipped for it, truthfully. And I don't think many people are. So that's the real reason, is probably just laziness. It takes a lot of effort to do.
That's funny. Yeah, that's the reason I don't as well. So you're 100% correct.
And I know people have, like, we talked about this a while back, but Bitcoin, I know James makes those, and James doesn't know how to 3D print. Like, he makes those with out of real Bic lighters. He uses a Dremel. He arts and crafts it, and I commend him for it. Like, really, really, congratulations to him. But I do not envy it.
No, I wouldn't want to do that. Not in a million years. Yeah, completely. So here's a question for you. You've said that you gravitate more towards creativity than performing. As somebody who creates magic myself, part of my process is just going out and performing it a lot. Like I'll take an idea and I'll perform it and I'll come back and I'll be like, well, that was shit. And I'll be like, right, what went wrong? Right, this went wrong. Okay, let's fix that. Let's take it out to the next gig and see what happened. Okay, that was better, but this was an issue. Like, and I find for myself, I think it's probably because my ideas suck initially and I have to like work them in order to make them work. But like, I find that anything that I create is better after I've performed it a ton. So as somebody who's at university and so therefore hasn't got time to perform as much as you've got a million things, you're on your second degree, and at the and obviously you gravitate away from performing anyway. Like, how do you get around that roadblock? Is it just like what do you do with that sort of situation?
So I'm going to be very frank here, very candid. To me, I'm a magic creator, in the sense that, and I'm very much more of a toy maker than a kind of routine maker. So essentially, because I've kind of forced myself into that lane, much of the stuff that I create has that toy aspect to it, and so I think of it more of a more as a product than a routine, a magic routine or a magic prop. And so what that means is that I kind of have the notion of when I've struck gold, when I know it's a toy that I can't stop playing with, not so, which doesn't necessarily translate to a good magic product, but it's a good product for magicians, if that kind of makes sense.
Yes.
So this is being very frank here, because I know magicians, we like to talk about, because it's true, the beauty and like the real essence of magic is performing. That's the tr it comes down to that. It's the same as painting. The essence of painting comes down to the art piece that you end with. The paintbrush that you use is kind of secondary, right?
Yeah.
And I assume that a painter will like a tooth sorry, toothbrush, a paintbrush that is also a fidget spinner. And oh wow, that's so cool. That's a toy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I kind of work in the lane of, and I'm very happy with it, toys for magicians. And that I'd say maybe 90% of the time leads to something that is actually performable if someone picks it up. So it's not just something that is a toy that you will pay for or play with for a day and then toss it. It kind of, I guess, coincidentally, always almost always ends up being something that is actually usable. But I normally aspire to make a fun toy, something that, oh wow, this is has an interesting mechanic, or this is a cool combination of concepts, or. So I guess that's kind of how I get over the not performing, because I don't look at performance pieces. I look at like I'm sadly not Joshua Jay,
Yeah,
who puts out fantastic
well,
performance
very
pieces.
few people are Joshua Jay, let's be
Oh yeah,
honest. Joshua Jay is not even Andy
but
Gladwin is Joshua Jay.
or Andy, they both put out fantastic, or even yourself, Craig. You guys put out fantastic performance pieces. You are selling a piece of performance. Right, which is very attractive. It's very cool. I kind of sell, which I think is on a lower rung. I kind of sell a toy, and
And there's
then.
nothing wrong with that. Here's the thing: 80%, probably even more, of people in the magic community that regularly buy magic, they're hobbyists. They want toys, and even the professionals still like buying toys. I love buying toys, and that's part of the thing about magic. Yeah, it's great that you can go out and perform it, but there's been many times where I've bought some. Rattle dice is a perfect example. I was giddy as a schoolgirl. I never do this. When I came back from the States, because obviously I learned it over in America, I didn't just have a set for my gig bag. I had a set in my pocket and I was just fiddling around with them
Just
all day. I
fun.
was like, It was just, I was like, oh, I can do this with it. I can do this with it. It's just a fun thing to carry around with you. It's just, yeah. So I totally get that. Magicians love toys. They do.
And it's perfectly fine. I think it'd be kind of silly to not understand it and say, all right, there's a market for toys for magicians. That's perfectly fine. Not everything has to be a well-built magic button routine or what's Josh's new thing? Reverse logic. It's
Well,
fine.
reverse logic is a perfect example of something that's really mainly presentation based. The creativity behind it isn't really, it is what it is. It's a good trick,
He's
but
selling a performance piece.
yeah, that's what he's doing, and there's a market for that. There's a market for somebody who can look at that and go, you know what, I've got 5 minutes in my act that I want to fill with something that will, you know, I've got it. It's scripted. It's there. All I have to do is plug it into my act. That's fine.
And that's fine. That Scott Alexander sold so many of his tricks, and they were performance pieces. Like he would promise an 8 minute piece that you could slot into your show. And that's
I remember having an argument with a magician recently where I said, hey, you know, one of the best things I ever spent in magic was buying Superfly by Scott Alexander, and I basically got a metal stick and a handkerchief, and I paid like $300 for it, and I would do it again and again and again because that trick as a performer has made me so much money because I do it in every show. But it's not a toy. I
no, it wouldn't make sense
literally
for me to buy it because
no.
I like buying toys, but it would make sense for someone like you to buy it. Or like if you need 6 minutes filled, you can buy his what's the Bill and Lemon one called?
Yeah, final answer.
Final Answer, right? And it's great.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. So, on the subject of that, is that why Greg Wilson got involved in the tutorial? Because, you know, what I'm trying to say here is you look at yourself as a toy maker. How important is it to you to be? I can guarantee you there's people that are watching this interview that aren't really 100% sure who you are, just because a lot of the stuff you bought out through Mark Mason, you weren't on the tutorial, you weren't on the trailer. Hell, I'm interviewing you and I didn't even know Killer in Manila was your trick. And then, you know, you got Rattle Dice. Greg Wilson did the tutorial. He's on the trailer. He's on the tutorial, and it's your trick, and they've promoted it as your trick. But it's Greg that's front and center on the trailer and everything. So two questions there. Did Greg get involved because Penguin wanted fleshed out routines? Was it or why did Greg get involved? And not that it's a bad thing. Greg's amazing. And
Yeah.
then secondly, how important is it to you? Because you're approaching creativity in a completely different way to me, for example, because although I've released toys, it's not my stuff really is a little, it's more of a performance thing. It's designed to work in the real world. Like Keymaster, it's not really a toy. It's four keys, and I'm going to show you the sleight of hand you need to be able to perform it. You know, it's not like a crazy flap thing where a hole comes down. You know what I mean? So, like, for me, when I'm releasing a product, I'm selling the routine a lot of the time. You know, how many times do you hear, oh, it's a Craig Petty trick, there's going to be 40 routines and 10 hours of tutorial. Like, that's just kind of my thing. I love doing that. Like, so yeah, two questions. One, how did Greg get involved? And two, how important is it for you to be front and center on the project?
So I think Greg was involved for two reasons. One of them, at the time that they were that Rattle Dice had to be filmed, I was working in Japan, and so I was kind of unavailable at that time, which I think worked on Penguin's favor as well, because we didn't really know what to do routine wise. Everyone loved the prop. As you say, it's just a fun thing because the moment that you hear it for the first time, you're like, shit, this is great. You can do so much with it, but so much is such a vague concept that you at least I find it very hard to fine-tune that vagueness into one specific routine or five specific routines or even 40. And so I think Greg was also brought on basically for the purposes of finding stuff to do with it. Stuff that, because Penguin knows and we all know, like we like toys, but we like to think of ourselves as performers, even if we're not, me included. Like I wouldn't buy Rattle Dice if it didn't have any routines. It's just a fact. And that's also like, so it's kind of, it's a strange magic industry that we live in currently, wherein we want our toys, but they can't just be fun toys. They kind of have to be packaged as if they were performance pieces, but they're really toys. I don't know how much sense that's making,
No, it makes a lot of sense, yeah.
but that's kind of, I think, why Greg was brought on to kind of put the bow on it and nicely package it as something that is very is more seductive than what I had.
That makes sense. And we're going to talk about things that you're coming out with in the future soon. What's your plan with that? Are you wanting to be more front and center on those projects? Is that going to be something that you want to be, because like I say, a lot of people maybe they don't recognize you because they've never seen you on camera before. Like, is that something that you want to change, or you want to be not, because your name is out there, but not necessarily people might not put a name to a face. You know, is that
So
something I'm changing?
yeah, I think we were talking about this before. It's pretty imperative now that if I am working on something that I am on the trailer and I am on the tutorial, and you know the people get to know me, just are able to put a face to the stuff that I create, the good and the bad stuff. Like they're able to know that this guy with this face has created this and has these ideas and has this mindset. And so yeah, it's if working with Penguin, I was there maybe a month ago, and they knew that it was very important to me that I go there, and I did tell them like I'm more than happy to receive a pay cut. Like I really, really, it's it, I'm not money motivated. I just kind of want to showcase what I can do for people to, you know, understand who I am, what I do. I do not ex want to be a celebrity. I saw how David Regal was walking around Blackpool and everyone was stopping him last year. And I was like, well, I really don't want that. That must be so stressful that you just walk to one stand and they're like, oh, you're David, right? Because, you know, David Regal is David Regal, right? And I do not envy that. So I guess I don't know. Maybe it's ego, maybe it's innocent ego, let's call it that. But yeah, I guess putting my face and attaching it to the product is very important nowadays to me.
Good. That's great. That's fantastic. And so you've mentioned there that you've been to Penguin, obviously. So let's talk about, I don't want to get into specifics because obviously things have to be shrouded in secrecy in this industry
Oh, yeah.
before they come out. But I mean, we spent a couple of hours talking before I started this interview. And you have about 15,000 routines coming out over the course of the next couple of years. Like the amount of, you were like, oh, and I've got this, and I've got this, and you know this company, and you know this company. Oh, no. I'm like, bloody hell. There's a lot that you're doing. Like, can you tell us anything about anything that's coming in the future? Obviously, you've got stuff coming out with Penguin because you've just said you've been at Columbus. Can you tease anything with any other companies or with Penguin or anything? Like, you don't have to go through specifics, but
I think I'm pretty safe to say that there is a trick coming out for Black Friday with Penguin that is called Stab in the Dark.
oh, hang on, is that what I think it is?
You saw it at Blackpool.
I was about to say, we sat down at a table
Down with Tim
at
Trono
Blackpool. With you, me, Sean, Mandy, was
and
Juan there?
Tim and Juan, yeah.
Yeah, and you showed me with the thing and
That's
the
it.
thing, and I
That's
was
it.
like, oh my God.
Thing in the
Now, okay,
thing.
that reminds me, I'd completely forgotten about that trick. Jesus, first of all, Jesus Christ, that's one of the best tricks I've ever seen. But second of all, you say your tricks are toys. Now that has got a toy quality to
No,
it.
that's
But
not a
that's a
toy.
performance piece there, Alex. That's a perform. I remember turning around to you and saying, I would perform the shit out of that in my show. That is the best example of that genre. I'm being very non-specific here, because I'm trying to shroud it in mystery, but that's the best example. It's a stage piece. You could do it
That
closer,
is.
but it feels like a parlor trick or a cabaret trick or a stage trick. That you can't tell me that you don't perform when you create something like that. That's incredible, man.
Now
Oh my God, I didn't know that was coming
there's some
out of that.
exceptions. There's some exceptions to the toy rule. I think I can say it's a book test.
Right. No, you can't. Saying that is a book test is just selling it short. It's just nothing like anything I've ever seen before. And you sat me, we were sitting in the hotel reception, and you just performed it and fooled the crap out of me. I had no idea how that worked. No idea.
So I don't think that has the toy aspect. It's not the sexiest, it's not like it's a good combination of good methods. It's a nice combination of good methods. It's just not, it doesn't have any sliding panels or any flaps or anything. It does what it has to do. It does it very well. But yeah,
It's
you
brilliant. It's
stab in the
brilliant.
dark. I think November 22nd.
You know, by the way, I said that I work with Penguin on a lot of products from time to time. You know what I'm working on at the moment, and I forgot to mention to you?
Is that who gave you that?
Mandy.
Really? Is
I've been working this in for like 3 months now.
that the 3D printed one?
Yeah, this is the finished version. They made it and sent
This
it
is
to me.
the finished version because I have a
No, this
silicone
is
one
this is this is the
somewhere.
yeah, this is the finished version. You know, I said I'm going over to Penguin in November. I think,
Really?
yeah, I'm doing some stuff towards that on there.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah, there you go. You didn't even know
No,
that.
I actually didn't. So that's by Juan and myself.
That's killer. That's another killer trick.
I don't know what we're calling
Honestly, that was, and I'm not just saying that for the people that don't realize, Sean Dunn and I are very close friends. And Sean dragged me over to his hotel, and Mandy was there. We'd been out for a meal. Tim Troner was there. And me and Tim are good now. Michael Weber and me, not so much, but me and Tim are good. And Hugh and Juan were there, and it was the highlight of my Blackpool. Honestly, it was the highlight of my Blackpool. You two just were coming at me with so much incredible magic and blowing my mind just over and over and over again. It was amazing. It really was.
I do remember you liked because I remember you did this Oreo through glass while you were playing with it just like on the spot. I remember Juan turned to me and he's like, "Oh," because we were all talking and you were just like into the prop and into the you were like out of it, like just completely focused
Well,
on
we were
the.
having this conversation beforehand. That's what I do. I locked myself in a room for a week with these things, and just they're amazing.
I don't know what we're going to call that because the name that we were calling it is kind of revealing. So I think they wanted to change it. But yeah, that's a fun prop.
Right.
That's a fun prop. So that's also coming out with Penguin. I don't know when. But the newest thing will be Stab in the Dark, which in Blackpool, I'm sorry, Sean and Mandy, if you're listening to this, they know this, however, but I preferred the name that I gave it during the convention because I was selling them in my stand. I called it Slitterary.
Yeah.
They did mention that, you know, having slit in the name could lead to some dirty thoughts.
Yeah,
So.
I can see that. They're Penguin. They like to be family friendly.
So I understood
How I
set.
became the face of Penguin Magic when they're trying to be family friendly, I have no idea.
So stab in the dark it was. Yeah, I think and then I also have another book test coming out with them, which does have the toy aspect to it. I also shared it that night. I don't know if you remember. It's this yeah, that's it.
That was another one you fooled me with. How can I forget
Yeah,
that?
that one does have the toy aspect. It's a
It does.
routine, but it's a toy. Like it's you look at it and you're like, yeah, motherfucker, that's
Yeah.
nice.
It's really good. It's really, really good.
And then
Wow.
bunch of other stuff. With Penguin is yeah, they're tired of me and Juan. They're
Well, you know, you talk about Juan, for the people that don't know, he's released some incredible stuff on his own through Penguin. And obviously, you guys are releasing Magic together. 52 Stunner, I think I gave one of the best reviews of the year to. Like,
52 Stunner is great.
it's incredible. But I mean, it's not his only trick. He's got some amazing stuff. And you guys collaborate quite a lot, don't you, on Magic?
We do. We're close friends. And yeah, we basically just what we're doing. Like we just sit down and we jam. I just saw this blah blah blah. It'd be nice if we did something with it. Let's do something with it. So we're working on a trick with an AirTag, for example, that was born just out of a conversation. Just,
Wow.
oh, this is great. It'd be nice if we could do so and so. And we just execute. I'm lucky enough to have the facilities to do so. So this is my home. This is my room. But I have a studio where I have 3D printers. I have vinyl cutters. I have laser cutters. I have basically anything I need to be able to manufacture just about anything, including metal. So I actually shipped out something to you, Craig, that we were talking about before, that is completely metallic. Like really, and it looks like the real thing. I think you know what I'm talking. I hope you know what
I
I'm talking
do know
about.
exactly what you're talking about,
It looks
yeah.
exactly like the real thing. Like you could hold it like this and you wouldn't see anything. I don't know if I have one. It's a key. I will just say it's a key. I don't have
I'm
one, but yeah,
so excited to get my hands on that.
it's gonna be nice. So that's kind of why I think I feel very fortunate and grateful to be able to work with you, Craig. Because any project that we do together, I think we'll have the best of both worlds, the toy and the performance piece.
Yeah. Or the mind and the mouth, I think is probably the way to describe it, to be perfectly honest. But no, you could be the intelligent guy and I'll just stand there and just be the hype man. That's
You undersell yourself, Craig. Absolutely.
I appreciate that. I really do. So but you it's not just Penguin, you've got a lot coming out with Penguin. Because I think and that's smart because when you find a company that treat you right, you know it and like you said, when you get in with Penguin, they kind of open their arms. You know, you're probably in a situation now where you don't have to go through submitting a trick. You can just like literally pick up the phone and go, right, Sean, I've got this idea. I'm sending you a video. What do you think? And you
That's
pretty much get feedback immediately. I'm
it. And it's nice with Penguin because once you're in, it's so quick. Like and this kind of circles back. I created this thing. If you want, I can quickly show it. It's a version of something that you'll very quickly find out what it is. But let me see. So I've got four cards. Okay. And I actually removed them from a deck of cards just a second ago. And they're the four queens. Okay.
Okay.
And I did something. It's kind of a prediction. I took one of the queens out, I flipped it over, and I put it upside down in the third position of this packet, right? So I think most people will know where this is going, but Craig, name a queen. Any queen.
The Queen of Diamonds.
Queen of Diamonds?
Yeah.
You want to change your mind?
No, I'm good.
You can, huh? Really?
Okay, I'll change it. I'll go Queen of Hearts.
Queen of Hearts. Me see this. So I actually don't remember what queen I placed instead. Queen of Hearts. Right? And then I actually took it from another deck because I was so sure you were gonna say the Queen of Hearts, and I didn't even bother taking the other ones, right?
Yeah, that's great.
So essentially, for anyone who isn't familiar with this, this is just Max Maven's wave or B
Yeah,
wave.
yeah.
I think Max wouldn't be very happy if I call it B wave, so I'll call it Wave.
Yeah, when I called it B Wave on a video recently, I got told off by about 100 people in an hour. So.
So I will call it Wave, although I think it makes more sense to call it B wave, but we'll call it Wave. So this is just that trick, Max Maven's four queen pecket trick with any queen. So if you know the original method, that wouldn't work,
Yeah, that's why I'm confused.
right? So let's say, because you said diamonds, but then you changed to hearts, I think to give me a helping hand. But you could have said clubs, and it would have worked exactly the same,
What?
right? Exactly the
What?
same. Or
No.
you could have said
Don't do that.
spades, or sorry, diamonds would have worked, or spades and it would have worked.
What?
Always the same. So I'm using this as an example because the wave rights lie with Penguin, for example. And I shared this with them, and they were like, we don't think this is something that would be interested in. So what I'm trying to express with this is that it's fine. Like, move on to the next thing. Like, I'll still carry this in my wallet. I'm happy with it. Not everything has to be a release.
Yeah, that's actually the best advice I've ever heard.
Can I explain this or no? This is
Hey, you can. I mean, only magicians watch this stuff. I'm completely fooled, to be honest, Alex. I have no idea how that works.
It's so essentially, it's just a four out thing, right? So you can have clubs, you can have hearts, you can have diamonds, and you can have spades, right? So essentially, what I have is four normal jokers, sorry, three more normal jokers, and this is the one gimmick which you can see is kind of dirtied up and used. So basically, and you can actually see the shitty job of making the wave card, because what I did is I just took a queen of diamonds and painted it in, which I actually have a wave set. I don't know why I'm doing this, but and the same with the black queen, okay?
Yeah.
And the other side of the black queen has a joker. So this is from Paul Curry Penguin release. It's called Touch, is it?
Yeah, touch, yeah.
So basically, and then these are roughed, right? So this the bottom card is roughed from the top up, so this is all roughed. The Joker is roughed like this, so these two are getting roughed together if I press here, so now I can't split them. And then this top queen is roughed opposite, right?
Yeah, right, got it.
So what this means is now if I put it all together, and I have a little mark so that I don't fuck this up. You can see I have two little red dots on one
Yep.
side, so I know the orientation, right? So basically, now if I spread from the top in one orientation, I will get one out. If I spread from the bottom, I will get the other out, because this is now the single card, and the other card is here, right? So it just roughs here, but roughs to the second card, but because of the Joker back, it looks the same always. And then the other two outs, I just flip it around, and I have this exactly the same,
That's
right?
great.
So it's just an overcomplicated wave or B wave, let's just call it that.
Yeah, but I mean it solves a problem, doesn't it? It solves the problem of it eliminates the equivoque at the beginning, which is just something that is maybe not necessary, but it's worth, it's cleans everything up.
So actually, this was born out of an exploration of how to strip and streamline Colossal Killer. So I love KK. Right. I love Colossal Killer. I will not say I love KK because it could be. I just instantly realized I love Colossal Killer, but I don't carry a big wallet. I have a very small wallet. And I wanted a version. I want a version. I still haven't reached a satisfactory conclusion, but I want a version that is ultra streamlined, and I can fit it in my very small wallet. And so I've gone through a lot, and this is born out of that, where instead of having a blue back, you could have the Colossal Killer out, which I don't know if I can reveal.
They off by one.
Exactly, the off by one. And with that, I kind of covered everything based on a Mark Elston idea. But yeah, this is a
That's
complicated. This is C, let's call this CB wave.
brilliant. That's awesome. And you say every trick doesn't have to be released, and that's true, but you know what? That is a brilliant lecture trick. That's a brilliant trick where you can kind of say in a lecture, hey, let me show you. Magicians will love that because that you're eliminating something that, in the mind of a lot of magicians would make that a lot stronger. I mean, that's a perfect lecture trick. Which actually, let me ask that. Like, how often do you lecture? Because I know you're busy. You're busy creating. You're obviously studying your second degree. You're working. Like, you're traveling around the world. Like, do you have time for lecturing? Is that something that you would like to do more of?
It's something that greatly interests me. I haven't had the chance to lecture so much here in Spain. I'm only now kind of starting to lecture more. I've probably lectured this year 5 or 6 times, and I'm hired to lecture maybe 2 or 3 more times before the end of the year.
That's great.
So it's kind of a recent thing. But I'm, as you can tell from my speaking style, I'm very informal with the way I like sharing my ideas. It's very much just, hey, I have these thoughts, I have these ideas. I kind of like it being a conversation more so than a monologue. Because many lectures I find are a monologue. Like I'll sit down and it's just a guy that talks about something that is not necessarily interesting for a long time. And I think it's more interesting. I did tell you this. Magic is a collaborative art. Like, we really wouldn't be anything. We wouldn't amount to anything if we wouldn't work with other people. So I think it becomes a much more interesting process in the moment that you talk with other people.
I
So yeah,
completely.
it does interest me. Sorry, that's the long answer. Yes.
So, any conventions that are being organized, and you want to have a fresh lecturer that not has hasn't really been on the circuit that much, then you're open for discussions with anybody.
I have, yeah, Craig can attest. I have a lot of crazy stuff, a lot of weird stuff.
You do, and I don't want to give anything away, but as well as working with Penguin, you're working with other companies. We spoke about somebody who you're working with at the moment on a couple of projects that literally one of the biggest names in magic. And I obviously don't we can't really say much, but I mean it's just
Craig Petty.
well no I
Oh,
was I was talking about the same person I'm working with the button,
right.
that
That
guy.
guy.
That guy. Yeah, here's a question. You talked about you're a toy maker and a lot of your stuff is toys and not performance based. Have you ever considered, I mean, you come from Spain. We spoke beforehand before doing the interview. You're friends with Woody, you're friends with Danny, you're friends with, some of the most iconic names in magic that have built a reputation for themselves around performing. Like, have you ever considered saying, right, okay, Danny, this is this thing. Can you take it out for a month and just like give me your feedback? Like, or just like even better, be on the project with me. Like, is that something that you've ever like tapping into those resources, or is that?
I'm not gonna lie, I'm not super involved in the Spanish magic community. Mainly because it's very theoretical.
I've noticed that. Yeah.
Which I know if you see Danny perform or you see Woody perform or you see Juan perform or like it doesn't look theoretical, but much of the discussion in Spanish magic is theory. Like Danny talks a lot. He has this concept that is genius. I would never be able to apply it, but it's genius, which is the concept of a blackout, where you can make the spectator forget something that they saw because they think it's so, what's the word, like menial, like it's so yeah, it's so
Unimportant.
unimportant, right? And it's so useful. And when you see Danny do it, like you don't actually see him do it because you actually don't realize. But so much of the conversation is very theory based and theory heavy because we have a lot of history with Ascanio and Juan and Pepe Carroll. And there's a lot of Gea, there's a lot of names that Gabi, there's a lot of names that delve into the theory aspect of it, which is extremely interesting, but it's very performance based for me. So that's why I kind of stay away from, like, I like showing my stuff to magicians, but that's kind of why I love Juan Capilla, also Tamariz, but Capilla, because we're very much in sync in that sense, where it's just creativity and create, talk about the actual technicalities of creation.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And it's fun sometimes. I see a lot of lectures that are theory based, and some of them are fascinating. And I go to conventions, and there's a lot of theory based lectures. But sometimes you just want to sit down and learn some tricks.
I think there's a fine line between doing a dealer dem and showing some cool tricks. Like I've seen some stinkers of a lecture where it's just a dealer dem. Like, oh, so I'll show you this and you can buy it at the end of the lecture. And that always kind of rubs me the wrong way because I'm paying to see you. I'm interested in what you're saying, but man, do I. Like, is there nothing you can give me, like, that I can do myself, that I can build a. So I think there's a fine line,
I agree.
and I think there's like a lecturer that is very good and who has done some great lecture circuits is David Stone. Like he's a good lecturer, but it's a dealer dem.
Yeah, it is. It is a dealer dem. I saw him in
Session.
the session, and he was there doing his thing, and it was just like everything was just like opening up a package to show you a trick that he had for sale at the end.
But he's charismatic, he's funny, he's French, and so it's easy to be engaged with him. So he's kind of like the somewhat exception to the dealer dem aspect of it, but I've seen actual like, all right, so I'm gonna open the package, this is what you get, this is how you do it. All right, you can buy it at the end of the show. I remember David would like surprise us with the as I was also there at the session. And he would like produce the bottle when you least expected it from the bottle holder. So he did have a fun aspect to it. But so something that I'm doing is creating like tricks for these kinds of sessions where it's stuff that you can. So for example, I only recently came up with this, which is actually very stupid. But so it's a tic-tac box, okay? Looks empty. And you can have a coin. You see that? More or less.
Yep, got it, yeah.
Let me see how well I can perform this, but there we go.
Oh, that looks good. That looks really good.
So this is just like I cannot sell this. I have no interest in selling this. It's just a folding coin that coincidentally fits inside this top bit of the
That's a
Tic Tac.
brilliant idea, though. What a great, I've never seen that before.
Right, so
That's such a good
you have this
idea.
super cool display where you can see anything, because it's super well hidden, and then it just pops up.
It's a great idea.
So this is the kind of stuff that for lectures I'm kind of striving to create these kinds of things, because I could sell a folding coin in a Tic Tac box, but I think that just feels wrong. Like, if you want, just buy the folding coin and buy any Tic Tac box, and you have an appearance that is, it's nice. It's fooling, and you can just do it. I don't have to sell it to you, right?
That's a great
I'm actually
idea.
giving it away here, so.
That's a great idea. See, instantly my mind races to a version of The Funnel by David Roth, if you remember The Funnel. Like you could get the Tic Tac box and you could put like a little funnel in the top, drop the coin in, and that would push the folding coin down without a shake. Oh, that's a great idea. Alex, that's an amazing idea.
For you, I think it's just fun to share, like, because I remember when I discovered this, and I was like, I don't know why. I think my bands are kind of rotten, but I remember when I discovered this, I was like, this is just a fun thing to mess with. Why
Really is,
not? So
but
yeah, I have no name for this. I will maybe we can call this FCTB.
that sounds good.
Yeah, folding coin Tic Tac box. I'm very good at naming. I don't know if you've been able to tell. I'm great with naming.
That's right.
Anyway, yeah.
That's really good. That's really, really good.
So that's why I know.
So what's the
Sorry.
plan for the future? So you talked about how moving forward you want to be on all the projects, and that's something that's very important to you. I know from speaking to you beforehand, you've got a ton of routines that you're working on with different people, different companies. What's the goal in the next sort of what's on the magical bucket list? Like you've achieved an awful lot. Most magicians would be happy if they had one name, one trick to their name at the end of their career. Like you've already had a vanishing ink trick that I never even knew about that sounds cool that I'm going to be checking out as soon as this finishes. You've had three come out with Mark Mason, one of which is I consider his best ever release ever. You've got what one of the best selling tricks at Penguin this year and a front runner for Trick of the Year. I mean, that is just taking a snapshot of that. A lot of people would be happy to have that at the end of their career, and you're just getting started. I know that the book test you're bringing out on Black Friday is going to be absolutely incredible. Some of the other stuff
So,
I know that you have, I mean, damn, you've got so much. Like, what are you, what do you, what's on your magical bucket list? What are you want? Are there other companies that you'd like to work with? Is there a particular, like, you talked about working with Peter Egging in a ghost creating capacity. Is there a big, like, would you like to go down the route of Kayla Morelli and get, hired by somebody like Copperfield? Like what are the goals that you want to achieve in the future?
I guess kind of the childhood dream and goal is to work with Blaine. It sounds silly, but I don't know why. It's and I'm very far off, because I mentioned this. Marty organizes this convention once a year in his town, and Doug McKenzie has been coming over for a couple of years. And if anyone doesn't know Doug, Doug is the top consultant to exist. Like, he is the consultant that people go to for everything magic related. He is him, Asi Wynn, Danny Garcia, like those guys, they know their shit. And so it's like working with people like them, with Blaine, or yeah, I say Blaine because he's very much the originator of this kind of magic that my generation is born on, is raised on, sorry. Working with them for Blaine would be kind of a dream come true, as I think would be for all my friends. Like, if I speak to Juan, if I speak to Julio, Victor, Dante, like many of these guys, I know like their dream would be, man, working with Blaine is,
Yeah.
but a more realistic thing.
Well, it could very easily happen. He's always looking to work with more people. He's always.
So a more realistic thing I think would be, I'd love to be known as a creator and to be hired as a creator. Like you see someone like Danny Garcia, Danny gets hired for his creator status. I don't think, maybe I'm speaking out of my ass, but if Danny was hired for Blackpool, I don't think he'd perform anywhere. I think he'd lecture and he'd like it'd be full. And if he's hired in China for a tour, he probably won't perform. He'll lecture. And so I kind of strive for that. And Danny's very much a reference of mine, because he's a genius.
He
He's great.
is. He
So
is.
probably something like that. And then, kind of circling back to the beginning, those are very nice, ambitious, and sexy dreams to have, but I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to have released Rattle Dice. I'm happy to have Stab in the Dark come out. I was so happy to go to Penguin. I'm happy to be working with this person that we are cryptically mentioning.
I'm excited about that. I'm so excited. I really am.
It's just I'm thankful. I'm not a spiritual or religious person, but I'm just thankful. It's a fun ride to be in, and it's worth taking a moment and kind of feeling it. Like it's just nice. Like even being here, it's already Friday, but I've on my 2:30 a.m. Just having this chat. I'm thankful. It's nice. It's great.
It really is. It really
So, kind of, I'm just happy. And I my plan for the future is to continue doing stuff that makes me happy,
is.
whatever that be, as long as it's legal.
Yeah, well, definitely. Definitely. Alex, this has been an incredible interview. You really are inspirational. 24 years old. Everything that you've done, everything that you have, I wish I could talk more openly about the stuff that you've got coming out. Just for the people that are watching this interview, Alex just spent the last 2 hours blowing my mind before we even switched the camera on. And when I say blowing my mind, I mean it. And him and Juan at Blackpool, they just sat there over and over again, just confusing me and fooling me. And they were talking, and I was just fiddling around with these incredible gimmicks and props and things. Like your brain works in a very different way to a lot of people's, Alex, and on behalf of the magic community, I thank you for that, because genuinely, like, I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, I think if Rattle Dice doesn't get Trick of the Year, I think Stab in the Dark will, because that's such a great trick. It's such an awesome trick. I'm so glad that you've I didn't it also shows how much faith Penguin have in it, because that is not a cheap thing for them to produce. And they turn that around quickly,
Oh yeah,
because
6 months.
and it normally takes it, frame of reference, it normally takes a lot longer. Like, I've just had Destiny Deal come out, and I filmed that a year and a half ago, and it took them till now to produce a single playing card with Plastidip on it. You know what I mean? And they've done a whole gimmick book test in about 4 months. It shows how high on your stuff they are.
And it has the whole like a Halloweeny aspect, although it's Black Friday. But we filmed a cool trailer. We filmed this trailer that is inspired. We watched like Alfred Hitchcock segments, and we watched parts of The Bird and of Psycho, and we tried to replicate some of those shots.
Oh,
Because
that's cool.
so yeah, we had some fun with the trailer.
Was
That's kind of fun.
Dalton filming the trailer for you?
No. It was actually Mandy. The first time since Penguin was formed that Mandy filmed the trailer.
Wow. Yeah, you don't normally get Mandy filming anything.
She was the not just filming, but it was only her. So it was just her and me filming it. And
Wow. I
she knows
mean,
her shit. Mandy is a pro.
she is. She's normally too busy to do that shit now, though. Wow, that's
I know
great.
that I felt very fortunate for that. And when I came out, when I performed at the P3 Theater, when I came out, they played the Pornhub drum penguin intro, you know, that. And I was like, wow, this feels great.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Living the dream. Living the
Oh,
dream.
yeah.
Living the dream. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
on the
you.
channel. And I want everybody that's watching this to do me a couple of favors. Number one, go and support Alex. But if you haven't bought Rattle Dice, go check out my review. We gave it up. Me and Ryan both gave it 100%. It's brilliant. It lives in my close-up case. I've got five copies. So buy Rattle Dice if you haven't already done so. Second of all, keep your eye out for the stuff that Alex has got coming out, because I know, I mean, him and I are working on a few things, but outside of that, the stuff that he's bringing out is just incredible. So make sure that you follow him on all the social media platforms. I know you're on Instagram, all those different places. And then leave a comment down below and let Alex know what you thought, because I thought this was brilliant. And Alex, seriously, we'll do another one of these interviews in the future, because in a year's time we'll be able to talk more openly about some of the stuff that you've got coming out, and we can revisit that. But for now, mark my words, people, if you think I bring a lot of stuff out, you ain't seen nothing yet, because Alex has got like a metric bucket load of really clever things coming out over the next year, and
It's just coincidentally happening that everything is like grouping together.
Yeah, it does that, doesn't it? Like in 2023, I bought three Penguin Tricks out. That's it, three Penguin Tricks. This year, I think I've had seven. It's just, but it all got filmed years ago. It all just comes out like around about the same time. Yeah,
It
people
just
don't
happens, I guess.
realize. Yeah,
All
but
right, this was
Alex,
great, Craig.
thank you once again. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the channel.
Thank you. No, thank you. This is great.
No problem. Guys, on behalf of Alex Littore, thank you so much for coming on the channel. Thank you so much for watching the interview. Leave a comment down below. Buy everything this man's got coming out, because it's going to be incredible. Keep an eye on Penguin Black Friday. I'm telling you, stabbed in the dark. You heard it here first. It's amazing. I think I've got something coming out at Black Friday as well, but fuck that shit off. Just go look at the book test. That's all you need to look at. The other thing nobody cares about. Just look at the book test. That's what you want to buy. And I'll be back next Saturday with another Talk Magic. Until then, thanks so much for watching. My name's Craig. This is Alex, and this has been Magic TV.